Hey, everybody. Hope you're all doing as best you can do during the quarantine. Wanted to let you know we have released our brand new podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, months before we were planning on doing it because of what's going on, so you have more things to binge away on. What is The Dark Side of Wikipedia? It is a true crime and history podcast where we take a look at some very dark stories, very dark individuals, very dark experiences that people went through over the course of history. We go through the Wikipedia entry and then comment on it chapter by chapter. So if you're someone who found yourself sitting there reading Wikipedia like a book going, I can't put this down, this is that in audio form with even more insight than just what you'll find there. Our first five episodes feature Ed Gein, Dennis Rader, the BTK killer, the New London School explosion, Ronald DeFeo and the Amityville murders, and Richard Speck, the Chicago nurse killer. We have new episodes coming out to you every single week. All I ask is that you go to Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. It's being populated out to all the other podcast servers as well, Spotify, Stitcher, and whatnot. But if you could, what I ask of you is if you like the show, please go to Apple Podcasts, press subscribe, leave us a review. More than anything else, please leave us that review on Apple Podcasts. That's going to help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that this show exists and that we are, in fact, out there. So please go check it out. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, press subscribe, and I hope you enjoy brand new episodes every single week of our new podcast, The Dark Side of Wikipedia. Right now, here is a 15-minute preview of The Dark Side of Wikipedia and episode number 5, Richard Speck, the Chicago nurse killer. While you're listening, please go leave that review and press subscribe on Apple Podcasts. In 1966, residents of South Chicago were traumatized by a deviant who was found to have systematically tortured, raped, and murdered his victims. What was the story of this bizarre and horrendous murderer? What drove him to such madness? And how was he caught and punished for his crimes? Today, we explore the story of Richard Speck on the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Richard Benjamin Speck was an American mass murderer who systematically tortured, raped, and murdered 8 student nurses from South Chicago Community Hospital on the night of July 13th into the early morning hours of July 14th, 1966. He was convicted at trial and sentenced to death. But the sentence was later overturned due to issues with jury selection at the trial. Speck died of a heart attack after 25 years in prison. In 1996, videotapes featuring Speck were shown before the Illinois State Legislature to highlight some of the illegal activities that took place in prisons. Richard Benjamin Speck was born in Kirkwood, Illinois, the 7th of 8 children of Benjamin Franklin Speck and Mary Margaret Speck. Family moved to Monmouth, Illinois, shortly after Speck's birth. Speck and his younger sister, Carolyn, were much younger than their 4 older sisters and 2 older brothers. Speck's eldest brother, Robert, died at the age of 23 in an automobile accident in 1952. Speck's father worked as a packer at Western Stoneware in Monmouth and had previously worked as a farmer and logger. Speck was very close to his father, who died in 1947 from a heart attack at the age of 53. Speck was 6 years old at the time. After a few years, Speck's religious teetotaler mother fell in love with a traveling insurance salesman from Texas, Carl August Rudolph Lindbergh, whom she met on a train trip to Chicago. The hard-drinking Lindbergh, with a 25-year criminal record that started with forgery and included several arrests for drunk driving, was the opposite of Speck's sober, hard-working father. Speck's mother married Lindbergh on May 10, 1950, in Palo Pinto, Texas. Speck and his younger sister Carolyn stayed with their married sister Sarah Thornton in Monmouth for a few months so Speck could finish second grade before joining their mother and Lindbergh in rural Santo, Texas, 40 miles west of Fort Worth, where Speck attended third grade. After a year in Santo, Speck moved with his mother, stepfather, and sister Carolyn to East Dallas, a section of Dallas, Texas, living at 10 addresses in poor neighborhoods over the next dozen years. Speck loathed his often drunk and frequently absent stepfather, who psychologically abused him with insults and threats. Speck, a poor student who needed glasses for reading but refused to wear them, struggled through Dallas public schools from 4th through 8th grade, repeating the 8th grade at J.L. Long Junior High School, in part because he refused to speak in class because of a lifelong fear of people staring at him. In autumn of 1957, Speck started 9th grade at Crozer Technical High School, but failed every subject and did not return for the second semester in January of 1958, dropping out just after his 16th birthday. Speck started drinking alcohol at age 12, and by 15, he was getting drunk almost every day. His first arrest in 1955 at age 13 for trespassing was followed by dozens of other arrests for misdemeanors over the next 8 years. Speck worked as a laborer for the 7-Up Bottling Company in Dallas for almost 3 years, from 1960 to 1963. In October of 1961, Speck met 15-year-old Shirley Annette Malone at the Texas State Fair. She became pregnant after 3 weeks of dating him. Shirley married Speck on January 19, 1962, and initially moved in with him, his mother, sister Carolyn, and Carolyn's husband. Speck's mother and stepfather had separated, and his stepfather had moved to California. Speck stopped using the name Richard Benjamin Lindbergh. When he got married, he began using the name Richard Benjamin Speck. When Speck's daughter, Robbie Lynn, was born in July 5th of 1962, his wife did not know that Speck was serving a 22-day jail sentence for disturbing the peace in McKinney, Texas, after a drunken melee. In 1963, Speck was caught after he forged and cashed a co-worker's $44 paycheck. He also robbed a grocery store, making away with cigarettes, beer, and $3 in cash. 21-year-old Speck was convicted of forgery and burglary and sentenced to 3 years in prison. He was paroled after serving 16 months from 1963 to 1965 at the Texas State Penitentiary in Huntsville, Texas. 1 week after his parole on January 9, 1965, Speck was wielding a 17-inch carving knife when he attacked a woman in the parking lot of her apartment building. He fled when the woman screamed. Police arrived within minutes and apprehended Speck a few blocks away. Speck was convicted of aggravated assault, given a 16-month sentence to run concurrently with a parole violation sentence, and returned to prison in Huntsville. But due to an error, he was released just 6 months later on completion of his parole violation sentence on July 2nd, 1965. After his release from prison, Speck worked for 3 months as a driver for the Patterson Meat Company and had 6 accidents with his truck before he was fired for failing to show up for work. In December of 1965, on the recommendation of his mother, Speck, who was by then separated from his wife, moved in with a 29-year-old divorced woman, an ex-professional wrestler who was a bartender at his favorite bar, Jenny's Lounge, and needed someone to babysit her 3 children. In January 1966, Speck's wife filed for divorce. That same month, Speck stabbed a man in a knife fight at Ginny's Lounge. He was charged with aggravated assault, but a defense attorney hired by his mother was able to get the charge reduced to disturbing the peace. Speck was fined $10 and jailed for 3 days after he failed to pay the fine. This was the last time Speck was in the police custody in Dallas. So a really nice kind of beginning to life as far as upbringing and then kind of what he started to get into. It seems like he was on the right straight and narrow, really, as one would call it.
You know, and you when you listen to that, like, he went so far off the tracks.
Yeah.
So far. But, like, you wonder if his dad had stayed alive, if it had all been different.
Yeah.
You know, especially if his mom was religious and didn't drink or anything, and she ends up with this guy who's a drunk, and, you know, and I imagine his home life wasn't good after that.
Mm-hmm.
No excuses, but you just have to wonder.
It's not an
excuse. If he'd have turned out differently. And he seemed to have gotten some breaks. Like, he should have been locked up for a lot longer.
Yeah.
More than once.
Well, there was the errors and all that. But yeah, you have to wonder. I mean, just that influence that father, you know, seemed to have on him that was positive and then that was suddenly gone. And then the acting out and it goes beyond acting out to just out of control and never being able to be reeled back in.
I can kind of understand that because, you know, there's the anger and grief and sadness from his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then his mom marries somebody. He's still really young. Then you're resentful. On top of that, now you're just going to act out because you're pissed off at the world.
Yeah.
And which he did, which is why he started drinking at 12, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then it kind of becomes who you are. You don't care.
Well, I think you have a recipe.
You didn't have anything to care about.
You have a recipe for just, you know, utter madness. And in someone like a Richard Speck, when you have those sort of circumstances and then you have some sort of a chemical imbalance going on, which I'm sure is there, where there's this mental illness at play.
And drinking on top of it.
And it's a perfect storm. It's where, like, well, maybe if someone didn't have the imbalance, or maybe if someone just had the imbalance but didn't do these other things, you wouldn't get this outcome, what we're about to get into. But when you have all of these things all put together at once, this is the recipe, this is the thing, this is the Mentos in the Coke bottle. It's not putting a spree in the Coke bottle. It's because of what all of these things mean together is what you get. And it's
like because when you're telling all of that backstory, knowing what's ahead in his life, it's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like, anybody could have seen that writing on the wall.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be a stretch for you or me to do what he did, but not so much for this guy. He didn't care.
You know, that's a scary thing about mental health and things like that in our world today is the fact that we can, if we were today to look at someone like a Richard Speck and we were to go down their entire list of stuff that they've dealt with, that they've gone through, that they're suffering from, that is their truth, to give you the fun current term. There is not a whole hell of a lot that a loved one or a caretaker or someone who is trying to look out for this person can do to prevent that person from going down a very, very dark path, even though they know it's like the next thing this person's going to do is going to be something like this. Because the laws are all on the side of the person with the problem. It's like, well, we can't do anything until they do the horrible shit. And
yeah, it's very true.
It's like, why are we doing this? Why are we living in this world where that is the case? Like, well, they might not do the horrible shit. Yeah, maybe not. But for the sake of them, for the sake of the other people, when you have the stories and the, or, you know, threats or things like that, we it's such a crazy world when it comes to that sort of stuff, as far as what can and cannot be done to prevent another Richard Speck.
Right. From because happening. We have no mental health outlets there's no way for people to get that kind of help that they need.
No, there's not.
And especially back then, there was none of that back then.
Yeah. We think it's horrible now.
And he was probably super intimidating, and his wife, I imagine, had a really hard time
dealing
with him. And he, you know, and someone like that, he had a rough life and he was angry at the world and
yeah,
took it out on everybody.
It's, Jesus. When you,
I have no idea. That's what that was like.
When you put it all into perspective, you go, and again, it's not to make an excuse and go, well, it makes sense. He did that shit. But in a way you look at it and go, not that it makes sense that he did that shit, but it makes sense. You go, I'm not surprised a person that's
like,
been through that.
See it coming.
Because
there had to have been people back then that were like, this guy's trouble.
His healthy
and
normal is so.
It's not going to stop.
What he views as normal and healthy and acceptable is so far out of whack from the rest of ours. And there's nothing anyone can do to change that other than just wait for him to strike, essentially. It's crazy. Let's jump into the next part of his story. On March 5th, 1966, Speck bought a 12-year-old car. The following evening, he robbed a grocery store and stole 70 cartons of cigarettes, sold them out of the trunk of his car in the grocery store's parking lot, and then abandoned the car. The police traced the car to Speck and issued a warrant for his arrest for burglary on March 8th. An arrest, his 42nd in Dallas, would mean another prison term. So on March 9, 1966, Speck's sister Carolyn drove him to the Dallas bus depot, where he took a bus to Chicago, Illinois. Speck stayed with his sister, Martha Thornton, and her family in Chicago for a few days, and then returned to his boyhood hometown of Monmouth, Illinois, where he initially stayed with some old family friends. And that is where we're going to pause the preview of The Dark Side of Wikipedia, our brand new podcast available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you download podcasts. If you like it, please go give us a review on Apple Podcasts and press that subscribe button so we can get word out that this show exists. Brand new episodes every single week for you. We're kicking it off in the middle of the quarantine, giving you as much extra content as we can to keep you busy. Please check it out. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Find it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts. And thank you for the support.